As the previous presenter, I also have no financial relationships to disclose. Going the wrong way. Now, there we go. The title of my study is, or the work that we've done so far, is Maximizing the Impact of Local Boards of Health. It's a self-assessment project. I am honored to be the one from our university that's presenting today, but actually this is a work of several of us. I had the opportunity to work with Cynthia Lamberth, Dr. Douglas Scutchfield, Dr. Larry Pribble, and Dr. Denny Pointer. Dr. Pointer is from the University of Washington. We put this work together with the purpose of developing a self-assessment tool for use of local boards of health to improve board performance. What I'd like to share with you today is a little bit of the information that we were able to pull on what exactly are local boards of health, what characteristics do they have, what kind of work will they need to do to become high-performing boards. I also would like to share with you a little bit about the developmental process that we went through on putting this self-assessment together. And from that, what standards already exist for local boards of health to be high-performing. I'll give you a little information on the self-assessment pilot project that we've done so far and the future plans for this information. So to begin, we took a look at the National Public Health Performance Standards process and found a definition for local boards of health. And you're familiar with that, the individual board, council, commission, or other legal body over primary governmental public health agencies. They have the authority over those agencies, usually defined as the health department. So those are the folks that we're talking about. And then we decided to find out, who are these people, how are they selected, and we went to both NACHO and NALBO for that information. From NACHO, we found that 66% of the local boards of health have appointed positions. 14% are elected, 36 are designated based on an elected position, such as the mayor or the county judge executive, and 18% are designated based on a non-elected position. Characteristics of these boards, many are fairly small. The median size is 6. Median term length is 3 years. However, the 85% of those people responding to the NALBO survey have unlimited terms for their boards. You can see that 66% of the board members are male, and 68% fall between the ages of 46 and 69, with 92% white non-Hispanic. So that's who they are. Now we wanted to find out, how important are they to the local board of health? So we started looking into public health systems and services research and found two studies, one by Bhandari and one by Dr. Scutchfield, both looking at performance elements of local health departments and what characteristics for high-performing health departments that there are. What we found in those two studies is that important predictors of local public health performance include the presence of a local board of health, so it's important to bring those people together and work with them, and also whether or not that board makes policy as opposed to just being an advisory board or a governing board. So we felt confident that we had an important group of people to work with, and it gave us a little bit more incentive that the group that we are trying to help become more high performing is indeed extremely important for the local health department. We then started to look at the characteristics that are out there already for local boards of health to figure out how to go about becoming more important, more high functioning. And we went first to the National Performance Standards Program, National Public Health Performance Standards Program, the governance assessment document. And what we found also through some of the public health systems and services research is that this document is not actively used. There are people that are using it, but it's not used a great deal. And primarily, it is a lengthy document. It's about 39 pages, and the overall purpose of that document is to identify oversight responsibilities for the 10 essential public health services. So that's one place where standards for governance have already been set. And then we went to the Public Health Accreditation Board, and as you know, Part A is administrative capacity and governance. And in that document, you have about 14 pages when you pull together the instructions and the particular elements of that document. And in it, you find a little bit more concentration on infrastructure for board governance, and also the financial management piece is added into that document. So we wanted to pull from both of those. But we still felt like there were not a lot of pieces of information out there for local boards of health to try to become what we were calling high performing, and we wanted to help them do that. So we went to more governance research outside of strictly public health, and we relied primarily on some governance research by Pribble and Levy. Their study was called Governance in High Performing Community Health Systems, and we used some of the findings that they found in that study for how those local boards were becoming high performing. So the results that we found there were high performing boards in community health systems had well understood system-wide missions, visions, and values, a highly committed and engaged board of directors, strong leadership, for our case it would be local health department leadership, clearly defined objectives and metrics, ways of measuring what we're doing, and a healthy culture. And by healthy culture, we simply mean ability to work together and discuss things. So then we had pulled those things together from the National Performance Standards, from FAB, and from the governance research, and we put together a document that went down from the National Performance Standards size of 39 pages, and FAB from 14 pages, to a document that at its beginning was also about 14 pages. And we decided to share it with some folks and see if this is something usable. Would this help you? Would this help your board understand what they're supposed to do, how to do it better, and pull from those three components that we looked at on healthy boards? So the first thing we did was, we're fortunate in Kentucky to have one of the local health departments in Franklin County be one of the FAB beta sites. So we went to the local health department director there and asked if she would look at the study or the document that we had come up with initially and give us a reaction. And her first reaction was, it's too long, it's a little bit too complex, I'm not sure I can engage my board in going through this in order to come up with a plan to be a more high-performing board. And then we took her comments and worked with the document a little bit, worked with that self-assessment tool, and reduced the size of it a little bit more, started working on concepts of themes instead of so many individual steps to walk through. And then we took it to the Kentucky Public Health Association, and I had the privilege of teaching a class there, a special board education class with Cynthia Lamberth, who I work with at the university. And we set the session up in talking to local health department directors and their board of health chair, who they had invited with them. And we talked about the principles that we'd found in all three of those sources about high-performing boards. And then we passed out the self-assessment document that we had come up with and asked them to spend a little time going through a couple sections and give us the feedback. So we got a lot of feedback on the fact that it was, at that point, a little quicker, a little more to the point than some of the other documents, and they liked it. But we got more feedback on some more streamlining, and also they asked for some information on exactly what certain terms mean inside the self-assessment project. So that created another version of the process. This is a screen capture, and I know you probably can't see this really well, but a screen capture of what the survey looks like now. Because now it's no longer a paper survey, it's an electronic survey, and now we have it down to 17 questions. We are working pretty much like the FAB information in that we're following the 10 essential public health services, but we've also added some infrastructure and some financial management questions. The one that you're looking at right now is the essential public health function number 3, public health information, education, and empowerment. And you can see right here that we have added a question. This is the second question in our electronic survey. Does the local health department have a plan for undertaking public health education and promotion in the community? And what we thought was important is to give a citation, if you will, so that boards of health and local health department directors would know why we think that's important. And with this particular one, it is because the National Performance Standards governance model in its 3.2 standard and the FAB domain 1 in A1.3b also talks about the importance of this plan. So we want you to be able to see as you go through electronically taking this self-assessment process that these were not things that were just pulled from the air, but they had a basis in two other well-known assessment projects. Then if you will look in the center part, this is where we're trying to pull together that information from other governance information, the Dr. Pribble information that we told you about earlier. What we're actually asking is read this statement and then answer yes or no, does our local health department have this plan? And you check off yes or no. But as you move toward the right, it's got a few more questions that what we're trying to get at is that healthy culture. Is your board assessing this information? So the very first one is, has the local board of health formally approved this plan? Yes or no? Has the local board of health monitored its progress? This shouldn't be a plan that just gets created, as you know, and put on a shelf. So is the process being monitored? And then from these sources that I mentioned earlier, the National Public Health Performance Standards, Governance, or FAB, whichever one we could find a timing element, we put the frequency of how often this plan should be reviewed. And this particular one is in the last 1 to 3 years, has the local board of health approved reviews or updates to this plan? So it shouldn't be any longer than 3 years, according to the sources that we looked at. And then here at the bottom, coming from the Public Health Association's comments to us about give us a little information about what you mean by certain terms, we've included a tip box at the bottom, helping to sort of flush out the terms that are asking the question. So this particular one says, when considering whether the local health department has the plan in this particular question, the plan should include an assessment of cultural and linguistic competence to assure that programs are appropriate for their intended audience. And then you can see that we have a National Performance Standards citation and a FAB citation for that. And like I said, it is electronic, and people can see how long it's going to take them, how much they're progressing as they move through that electronic survey. Now, our future plans are to take this same electronic survey and continue to format it, continue to tweak it to make it as effective as possible for local boards of health to understand whether or not they are performing at that high-performing level, whether they are doing all the things that the studies coming before them have talked about, the National Performance Standards and the FAB standards. So we have gone to the Kentucky Health Department Association and requested volunteer sites. Currently, I have 5 health departments that have agreed to take this on. And when I say take this on, what I mean by that is we will send them a link to this electronic survey. What we're recommending is that the local health department directors sit down with the local board of health chair and simply go through this checklist. And what they will determine at the end is every time they've had to answer no to one of those questions, that becomes part of their local board of health performance improvement plan. Those are things they can work on. And then we've also gone to the Kentucky Association of Local Boards of Health, the CALBO in Kentucky, and also asked for volunteer sites, and that call just went out. So I'm hoping to get some sites there as well. Now, what we intend to do with this, once we feel like the document has been fairly refined, we will have to monitor additional information out there in the industry about governance and continue to keep it updated. But the other thing we want to do is start to develop some local Board of Health educational modules. If people are having particular trouble with one concept or another that's listed there on the self-assessment project, that the next element will be some modules of education, helping them do a better job with whichever element that they need help with. So those are some of the future plans for this project. So can I answer any questions about the project and how we went through developing the self-assessment program for local boards of health? Yes.
It wasn't an existing assessment plan, NHO or something like that?
Not that we could find. Anyone else? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. That's okay.
What level of interest in this is coming from the local boards of health? There seems to be enormous variation in how excited they are.
Yeah. Right now, we have talked to more local health department directors than we have local boards of health chairs. But at that Kentucky Public Health Association meeting, there were both. And the initial reaction from some of the board chairs was a little bit of just flipping through the volume of it and a little bit of pushback on, I'm not sure I can answer those questions. But as they started to read them, they can see that these are things they know about. These are things that have been brought before them at the board meetings. This is not a scary thing at all. This is just a way to get better. So a little bit of pushback at first, though. Yes?
Does this tool work with health and human service organizations to help define the goals of the health program?
I'm sorry, I only heard the beginning of that. Would you mind to ask me that?
Does this tool work with health and human service organizations that combine with
Well, I think there's a possibility that it could because it's got worked into it information from community health system boards, but it is primarily coming from the government governance instrument from the National Public Health Standards and from FAB, but I'd certainly invite you to take a look at it. Any other questions? Thank you.